is episode 14 of UFO Encounters. This week I'm reading from Dr. Diana Walsh Pasulka's book, Encounters, Experiences with Non-Human Intelligences. When I have guests on my podcast, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. And when reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast. And here I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I've put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record the extract from the book, and the author kindly said yes. And so if you enjoy this podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe. So I'm going to read from chapter 3, which is called The Grey Man, and this is titled Encounter. And this is what Diana Pasulka has written. Grey Man works for a major research agency and is head of a laboratory. More than any other scientist with whom I had worked, he was most careful about what he could share and what he could not. He edited his contributions to this book more than 15 times. Since the beginning of my study, I've met hundreds of scientists and technologists who believe in UFOs. Do they know something that other people do not know about the topic? How do they reconcile their scientific pursuits with their belief in UFOs and extraterrestrials? What I learned from this community is that, contrary to the common assumption that scientists do not entertain such ideas, some of the best of them believe in extraterrestrials, non-human intelligences, and angels and demons, not as metaphors but as real beings. And sometimes these non-human entities, they believe, are not mutually exclusive categories. Grey Man related his experiences, and they reveal how the categories of beings overlap. Grey Man says, I woke up to see a being hovering above me. His face was about 4 or 5 inches from my face. His eyes pierced me, I felt, and he seemed to look directly into my heart, as if he was assessing me, but it wasn't unpleasant. As I felt this kind of assessment taking place, I felt I could also see into his soul too. I felt that this being was pure, full of righteousness and incredibly powerful. His hair was long, about shoulder length or slightly longer, and it shone pale but bright yellow to gold and looked like it was made of light. His face was so close to my face that I didn't dare move. I was completely and utterly overwhelmed, as much as a person could imagine being overwhelmed, by the idea of literally coming face to face with an angel or God. This initial shock and fear were momentary. It turned into a feeling of love, peace and joy, and the breath had been taken out of my lungs, as you might experience from a huge adrenaline surge. The room, which had been dark, was lit bright with light that radiated out from his body. His body was luminous, like looking at a light bulb through a thin lampshade. His clothing was white, and he appeared to have on a sleeveless gown that could be opened at the front. The feeling of adrenaline soon passed, and a feeling of peace and calm came over me, and a realization that if this thing wanted me dead, I would have already been dead. I felt love and a strong connection to this being, like the love and connection you might experience in a once-in-a-lifetime best friend, the type of friend that knows you far better than even your parents. At this point, I asked if I could hug this being, but he told me, "No. I have a sword. You will be injured." I did not immediately notice this sword. It was hidden. It was held vertically with the tip pushing outwardly against his clothing, so that once noticing this, it became obvious that it was a sword. I wondered why he would have a sword. It was confusing to me. This being was so incredibly powerful. I did not doubt for a moment that it could easily vaporize me just by willing it. Time seemed to blur, and I was transported to another place, this one very dark. I felt strongly that this being was indeed sacred, holy, and pure, an angel. However, it then proceeded to give me armor and weapons. This is not what I ever imagined an encounter with an angel would be like. He gave me a sword. It made no sense to me. How was this going to help me? A dark, shadowy, three-dimensional black figure appeared. It was like a thick dark smoke, but completely opaque. The figure was of a being that morphed and changed shape, not completely, but it did not have a fixed solid outline. It moved and flowed. I could feel it was evil. I knew the angel intended me to fight this figure, and so I did. It seemed strange to me that I was not afraid. In fact, it gave me joy to at least attempt to put an end to this dark entity, not knowing whether I would perish or defeat it. For some reason, I just knew what needed to be done, and so I did it. During this carnage, I was calm. This was a very unusual experience, but it felt normal, like how you might feel participating in a personal hobby. That's the feeling I got. I felt like I should be terrified, but I wasn't at all. I eventually defeated this evil being using the sword. The sword went straight through this being like swinging through air. There was no feeling of hitting something solid, but the sword seemed to disperse this dark, opaque, smoke-like matter. I sensed that the angel was pleased with me. I then woke up at some point after this. It was like waking up from being knocked out or unconscious, not waking from sleep. I didn't really know what to think. I felt sure this was not a dream, but what was this? I said to myself repeatedly, what just happened? How could this be real? But it seems so real. And what would be the purpose? I was trying so hard to make sense of it all, but I wondered why an angel would need to have a sword. Angels can be seen or not seen and are powerful. I imagine that if they were real, that they could kill a demon without a sword. What's the sword for show? I didn't get it. Regardless of what this was, I felt an overwhelming gratitude for that experience. It gave me incredible comfort at a time when I was making some big life-changing decisions. There are no words to describe the relief I felt. Grey Man described what happened to him. He emphasized that it was not a dream. Upon looking at him, he seems the least likely person to report such an event. He's a surfer, and if you didn't know he was a scientist, you'd expect to see him on the beach with a surfboard or with a skateboard zooming down the street. Even after 2 years of knowing him, I had never seen him deviate from his chosen uniform, black Vans, faded saggy jeans, and a Billabong t-shirt. His dark brown hair is buzz cut style. He once called himself the Grey Man because he despised social media and anything that brought attention to himself. He did not allow photographs. Anything that smacked of self-promotion made him cringe. Grey Man reminded me of another scientist, surfer, and UFO experiencer I'd met. In 2017, I spent 4 days at a small conference in California with Dr. Carrie Mullis and his wife Nancy. I had invited him to the conference because I was interested in learning about his UFO experience. Mullis had won the Nobel Prize in Chemistry for discovering the polymerase chain reaction, which was a revolutionary technology that impacted innumerable industries. He disclosed his UFO experience and his meeting with a small being that he described as an electric raccoon in his cabin in the mountains of Northern California. Mullis was a controversial genius who posed for photographs with his surfboard on California beaches near his house, and whose views on various topics, from UFOs to climate change, did not conform to the expectations that the public had about scientists. Except for his disdain of being photographed, Grey Man reminded me of Dr. Mullis. What Grey Man described to me, however, did not sound like a UFO experience. This being you saw sounds like Saint Michael, I said. Saint Michael, the archangel, is a divine agent portrayed by the sacred scriptures of 3 major Western religious traditions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. The angel is known to be a demon slayer and psychopomp, which is a being that leads the souls of the dead to their afterlife destinations. He's also the guardian of children. At the time we had our conversation, Grey Man wasn't aware of this iconography, or he wasn't consciously aware of it. When I mentioned that this sounded like a dream about Saint Michael, he didn't comment, but later he told me that he wondered why I had brought it up. What would a saint have to do with an angel with a sword? He was confused about the angel he believed he saw and why it had a sword. He didn't know of the tradition of Saint Michael as an archangel and demon slayer. I'd assume that he was aware of the tradition, yet he wasn't. and how he found out was curious. So this week I was reading from Dr. Diana Walsh Pasulka's book, Encounters, Experiences with Non-Human Intelligences. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. A great way to support the podcast is to sign up on Patreon. On the Alien UFO Podcast Patreon, when you sign up for $5 a month, you get an extended episode every week. And for $2 a month, you get an extended episode every month. Just go to patreon.com/AlienUFOPodcast. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.